Ishmas Esther Bas Chaim, my great-grandmother. In Shir 23, we will begin to discuss Kashrus on Pesach. Now, the book that we're going through, the Jewish Dietary Laws, is divided into two volumes. And the second volume deals with plants and with vegetation. Since only the five types of grains are usher on Pesach, this entire section on Pesach really should not be related to our current discussion and should really fall in the second volume under plants and vegetation. And the author gives two reasons as to why it is appropriate to connect our discussion of Pesach with everything we have been discussing until now. So first, the halachos of chametz and matzah apply in all times and in all places, while many of the plant-related halachos are known as mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, which means that they are directly connected to Eretz Yisrael. And second, the laws of chametz and matzah are different in that they were given while we were still in Mitzrayim. To quote directly, the laws of chametz and matzah were promulgated right at the very commencement of the Exodus from Egypt. They are intimately connected with the birth of our nation and the essence of its nationhood. The Torah was revealed to the Jewish people in the wilderness, not only in order to stress its universal character, but also to make clear that Yisrael became the nation of God long before entering the Holy Land. The land of Israel is not merely the national home of the Jewish nation, but first and foremost, the stage for the realization of the Torah in this world. This is a fundamental aspect of Judaism. Now, for psukim related to this topic, it's essential to see Shemos 12, the entire perek, as well as Shemos 13:3 and Devarim 16:3. So, let's begin by examining the ideas behind chametz and matzah. In Devarim 16:3, the Torah refers to matzah as lechem oni, the bread of affliction. Now, the reason for this is that the bread was made very quickly by the enslaved nation throughout their time in Mitzrayim, and then they only had time to eat it on the go. They did not even have the luxury of having a nice meal while they were enslaved in Mitzrayim. There was always work to be done, and the taskmasters did not allow them to sit around and to eat. When we move on, and we were finally redeemed from Mitzrayim, we really fared no better. Although here the matzah took on a different meaning. The Torah says in Shemos 12:39, it says, "Vayofu es habotzek, asher hotziu mimitzrayim, ugos matzos ki lo chametz, ki garshu mimitzrayim, lo yachlu lismameah, vegam tzeda lo asu lahem." And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any provisions. Our entire redemption from Mitzrayim was out of our hands on every single level. We did nothing to get ourselves out or to prepare ourselves for our journey when we were going out. But rather, Hashem himself took us out. We didn't even prepare any food whatsoever. And for centuries, when we were in Mitzrayim, matzah was a sign of our slavery. Now, at the time of redemption, the matzah became a symbol of our complete reliance on Hashem in all aspects of our lives. Our survival in Galus has not been due to our kochi va'utzem yadi, the strength of our own hands, but solely based on God. So, matzah then is the symbol of our enslavement, as well as that of our national character and our full reliance on Hashem. Another idea that we find behind chametz and matzah is the struggle between good and evil. Matzah, according to this spiritual Kabbalistic idea, is, so to say, healthy, and chametz represents man's evil inclination since it rises, which I assume means an idea of being egotistical. Matzah represents moral freedom, reliance on God, while chametz shows we want to be independent of Hashem. And following this line of thought, when we remove chametz from our possessions, we're showing that we want to remove any rebellion or sin against God. Now, Diane Grunfeld takes this Kabbalistic idea one step further by applying it to all of mankind, which we're going to read inside through the end of the section. Unleavened bread is therefore a symbol of freedom from outside oppression, no less than from the bondage to our lower instincts, impulses, and desires. It is the yearly recurring proclamation of freedom, not only for the Jew, but for the whole of mankind. Thousands of years have passed since the celebration of the first Passover. Unfortunately, however, the great principle of human freedom has not yet found its realization. Tyranny and oppression and the denial of elementary human rights are prevalent in our days more than ever before. The message of Pesach is a clarion call to freedom. Would that it were heeded. The root cause of these evils is the rejection of the sovereignty of God and of the belief that man was created in the image of God. Both these fundamental beliefs are symbolically expressed by the matzah and are reiterated throughout the Holy Scriptures and especially by the prophets of Yisrael. Every page of our prayer book echoes the hope that the day is near when mankind will recognize the sovereignty of God, the dignity and inviolability of each human being created in His image, and the sacred right of each person to live and develop under God. The degradation of man and the orgies of inhumanity in our generation are caused by the evil doctrine that the state as a collective entity is not subject to God and His moral law. We actually discussed this quite a bit in the 19 letters. The double moral standard referring to individual and to the state is an old maxim of statecraft, but in medieval, and more so in modern times, the evil doctrine that the state as a corporate entity is above the moral law has received fresh impetus. In an extreme form, it is associated with the name of the Italian politician and historian Machiavelli. In his famous work, The Prince, Machiavelli presented a blueprint for the unfettered ruler who feels himself bound by no scruple. This is in utter contrast to the teachings of the festival of Pesach, as symbolized by the unleavened bread, and to those of the Hebrew prophets. The moral law, however, as has rightly been said, cannot be defied with impunity because it is a people that defies it. Nations have their responsibilities no less than individuals. Guilt does not cease to be guilt because it is impersonal. If it be true that righteousness exalts a nation, it is equally true that sin is a people's shame. This is Pasuk 14:34 from Mishlei. The old impertinent question of King Paro of Mitzrayim, when challenged because of his tyranny by our teacher Moshe in the name of God, is still echoed by far too many inhuman state rulers of our time. Who is the Lord that I should listen to His voice? I don't know Hashem, etc. In the Zohar, the sacred book of the Jewish mystics, the following interesting question is raised. As matzah, the unleavened bread, is considered the food of spiritual health, michla de'asvasa, symbolizing the nearness of God, our dependence on Him, and our moral purity, Yitzer HaTov, Chametz symbolizes Yitzer Hara, or Se'or Shebi'isa, rebellion against God and moral disintegration. Why then is Chametz forbidden only on Pesach and not all year around? In reply to this question, the Zohar offers the following parable. A king had an only son who fell ill. When the patient requested some food, the king's advisor said, let the prince eat this wholesome food, and while he eats it, no other food should be visible in the palace. After the prince had eaten that wholesome food, he was told that from now onwards, he could continue eating ordinary food without danger to his health. Applying this parable to the children of Yisrael, we must realize that when they left Mitzrayim, they did not yet understand the secrets of the Jewish faith, which is based on Malchus Shemayim, the sovereignty of God. God said, let them eat matzah, the wholesome bread of spiritual health, michla de'asvasa, and let them keep away from chametz, which represents yetzer hara, spiritual illness. As soon as they will have eaten matzah and will have understood its deeper meaning, they can eat chametz all year round without any damage to their moral well-being, and especially on Shavuos when they receive the Torah, which is an epitome of spiritual health, asvasa de'oraisa. The last remark refers to the fact that the Torah commands that two loaves, shtei halechem, are to be offered on Shavuos, the festival of the giving of the law, and that these two loaves must consist of chametz, leavened bread, whereas other meal offerings may consist of unleavened bread only. I think there are only two korbanos that have actual lechem in them, what we would call chametz, and the shtei halechem is one of those offerings. This apparent contradiction, the Zohar explains with another parable. A king elevated one of his subjects to the rank of prince. During the days of the induction to his high office, the prince had to wear royal robes as garments of honor. After he had been installed into his office, he was allowed to wear ordinary clothes again. Once a year, however, on the anniversary of his elevation to high office, he wore the royal garments as a memorial. Thus it is with Yisrael. They first ate matzah on the occasion of the Exodus, when they were redeemed from the bondage to human tyrants, and entered the service of God as his chosen people. Nafku mirshusa achara, v'alu mirshusa kadisha. And every Pesach, in memory of this great event, the people of Yisrael eat matzah, the symbol of national freedom from slavery, and personal inner freedom from the bondage of lower instincts and the evil inclination of man. Thus, matzah represents the symbol of Jewish nationhood, which rejects self-glorification and sees its essence in the dependence on God and the submission to His divine will as manifested in the Torah. Okay, now, this idea is very Kabbalistic. It's not really the type of learning that I'm involved with, so take it or leave it, although the idea still stands. We definitely, regardless of the second reason we gave, we have a basic idea of matzah directly from the Torah, which, as we said, matzah shows us both our enslavement and full reliance on Hashem at the same time. This concludes Lecture 23. And next time we will begin to discuss, in a general way, some of the laws of chametz and matzah.